At Arlington Cemetery in Virginia this morning, President Clinton spoke at a wreath-laying ceremony, thanking the members of America's armed forces, past and present, for protecting and defending the nation. The president paid a specific tribute to former Senator Bob Dole, who was wounded in World War II at the age of 21, and who went on, the president said, to dedicate his life to serving the American people. And the president made a commitment to help those who continue to suffer from illnesses related to the Gulf War. Here's an excerpt from Mr. Clinton's speech.
Today on this hallowed hillside, and all across our great land, we pay tribute to the service and sacrifice of our veterans, all those who followed our flag in war and peace, those who gave their lives, and those who came home. Each of us owes to all of them a debt we can never fully repay. The inscription on the Korean War Memorial says, "Freedom is not free." For more than two centuries, our armed services have defended our freedom and made our nation a beacon of hope for the world.
President Clinton speaking today at Arlington National Cemetery.
Commentator Doug Bradley has a private Veterans Day ritual of rereading his letters and journals from Vietnam.
I first became a combat soldier on Veterans Day. It's an irony I've struggled with for 25 years now. On November 11, 1970, my military transport plane landed at Tansanut Air Force Base outside Saigon, and I joined up with that terrible war. And due to the very precise timing of our tours of duty, the Army sent me home on November 11, 1971, exactly 1 year later. My father and I are both celebrating military anniversaries this year. He commemorates the 50th anniversary of his return from the Pacific Theater of the Second World War, and I grudgingly acknowledge the 25 years that have passed since I came back to him and my mother after my tour of duty in Vietnam. That's a curious bond for a father and son to share, having been soldiers, but it is, alas, one of the more common ones. It's odd, too, how we each mark these military milestones. Over the years, my father has tried, unsuccessfully, to reconnect with his World War II buddies and even toyed with returning to New Guinea, where many of his comrades died. And every Veterans Day, I observe my own private ritual of rereading my Vietnam journals, critiquing my rambling GI poetry, and trying to expand the distance between my Vietnam past and my living present. I search to see if I can find the connections and the disconnections between my father's experience of 1946 and mine of 1971 and the rest of our lives. And it's suddenly clear to me that even to this very day, we continue to readjust to life back home. More importantly, I realize that America has never really adjusted to us and to our being back here after having been over there. The fact that my father and I are both former soldiers has somehow linked us in ways only other combatants could know. Neither of us has ever talked in detail to the other about what we did and what we saw. But our eyes tell the honest stories. The truth that neither of us had the courage to enlist, but rather had to be drafted to fight for our country. The truth about the male friendships we forged that remain to this day unlike any others. The truth about all-consuming fear and the aroma of death. The truth about coming home, but never, even though we came back whole, never quite making it. So once a year I sit down and look for the thread that runs between the two soldiers, the son and the father. I usually find myself asking more questions than I can answer, and reaching out for a man from whom I'm separated by 1,000 miles and hundreds of silent conversations. I'm especially mindful of this as I observe my final Veterans Day ritual, rereading the one letter I received from my father when I was in Vietnam, the one where he told me how his love for my mother had kept him alive, and how sorry he was that I had to be in Vietnam at all. "I won't tell you to keep your head down," my father tried to joke in his letter, "but I think you should hold it high because I'm proud of you. Not for being a soldier, but for being my son."
Commentator Doug Bradley comes to us by way of Wisconsin Public Radio.